you over to my lovely, lovely wife.
Well, he wants lunch, doesn't he? Sorry? Yeah. Okay. I just want to start by just, I don't know, some of you, yeah, you're probably all of the right generation to actually remember Snoopy. In one of the old Snoopy clips, Snoopy was actually pictured with a broken leg, and he was sat there on top of his kennel with this broken leg. And as he sat there thinking about the situation, he decided this. He decided, my body is to blame for my foot not being able to move around. But my foot said it's my head's fault, and my head blames my eyes. My eyes said it's my feet's fault as they're clumsy. But my right foot said he's not to blame for what the left foot did. Snoopy then looked up and said, I don't get involved, so I don't say anything. So today we're going to look about how we are all very different and what different gifts we have, but how we need to be united to work together for the Lord. So we're looking at Corinthians 1, verse 12. Now, in this first part of Corinthians, Paul is talking about our gifts and how we need each other to function. And the latter part, he talks about the body and uses it as a metaphor. And we can all relate to that because we've all got a body. So in the first half, Corinthians 1, 12 to 11, it says, now, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. You know the way you lived before you were believers. So let yourself be influenced and led away to worship idols, things that could not speak. So I want you to understand that no one who is speaking with the help of God's Spirit says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but the same Lord to serve. And there are different ways that God works through people, but the same God. God works in all of us in everything we do. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person for the common good. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak with wisdom, and the same Spirit gives another the ability to speak with knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to one person, and to another, that one Spirit gives the gift of healing. The Spirit gives to another person the power to do miracles, to another the ability to prophesy, and he gives to another the ability to know the difference between good and evil spirits. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak in different kinds of languages, and to another the ability to interpret those languages. One Spirit, the same Spirit, does all these things, and the Spirit decides what to give to each person. Paul is explaining the way the Holy Spirit works within the church through the individual Spirit's gifts. We need to remember that as a Christian, once we've believed and committed ourselves wholly to the Lord and get baptized, we can have the gifts from the Holy Spirit. That's a promise that Jesus made himself. Paul is addressing the subject of the spiritual gifts amongst the Christians at Corinth. The Holy Spirit has granted gifts to different people within the church. Now, the purpose of those gifts were meant to strengthen the church and to strengthen the body of Christ. But unfortunately, this wasn't happening in Corinth. And the gifts, they were leading to division because of jealousy and other unspiritual attitudes, the gifts. Many there did use their spiritual gifts to glorify themselves, not to use them to glorify God and the body of Christ, but they used them for their own gain rather than serve the church. And this can actually still be the case today. We all have different callings and gifts, but we should use them in unity, and we should work together for the good of the Lord and his church. We should not wish that we had somebody else's gifts or wish to be someone else. In verses 4 to 7, Paul says, we are many, yet at the same time, we are one. We are a team, and our team is defined by our relationship with Christ. Paul reminds us in his letter to Corinth that these are different gifts, but as it says, they're in one spirit. There are different kinds of service, but one God. We have different kinds of gifts. No one gift fits all. Gifts are given so we can use them to serve others so that our church can grow stronger. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Do not neglect your gifts. I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. Listen, let me remind you, you are needed in the church. God has given you a gift, and now he wants you to go out and use it for him." Don't think for a moment that what you do doesn't count, or that you're invaluable, because you're not. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So today, I urge you to use your gifts for the Lord and his church. I urge you to work together in unity and to get involved and do something with these gifts that you've been blessed with. 1 Corinthians verse 12 to 31 goes on to talk about the body with many parts. The human body has many parts. The foot might say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body." But saying this would not stop the foot from being part of the body. The ear might say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body." But saying this would not stop the ear from being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, it would not be able to hear. If the whole body were an ear, it would not be able to smell. If each part of the body were the same part, there would be no body. But truly, God puts all the parts, each and every one of them, in the body as he wanted them. So then there are many parts, but only one body. There are many parts in our body, aren't there? We have 206 bones to start with. Each part of our body is indispensable. Every part is very different. Do you know we've got three different kinds of muscles in our body? Each does a different kind of work within the body. But every part of the body is essential to make that body work as a whole. Although every part is different, it relies on another part. The leg couldn't bend without your knee. The heart couldn't pump if the arteries didn't take blood. And the brain needs the lungs to breathe because it needs oxygen. The stomach needs your mouth to take your food. Every part unique and individual, but every part interconnecting. All parts very different. But what happens to one part of your body affects another part. If we have an infected hand, the whole body feels unwell. Just imagine for one moment that the other parts of the body refuse to cooperate with each other or contribute to the body. What if your heart said, "You know, I am really fed up. I've been pumping blood around this body for 48 years, and I'm fed up with beating 24/7. I'm tired. It's time for someone else to do the job. It's time for someone else to step up. Go on, feet, you have a go." Or what if the lung said, "We are so underappreciated. I don't think the other organs realise that they couldn't do their jobs without us. All we have to do is just sit quietly breathing. But if we stopped for just 3 minutes, everyone would see how valuable we are in this body. The brain thinks he's in charge, but let's see what happens to him if he goes without oxygen." Or the liver could say, "Why do I get all the dirty work? You think it's fun making bile? I've been in this body for 48 years and no one's ever asked me to make a decision, pump blood, or perform any function that's noticeable outside of the body. Sometimes I wonder why I bother. I think you get the idea. The point is, the individual parts that make up our bodies were created specifically for certain tasks within that body as a whole. The body is a finely tuned machine. When all the parts do what they're generally supposed to do, it works perfectly. There are no unimportant parts. The parts that seem insignificant are really very significant. How important do you think your little finger is? Have you tried writing without it? You can't. And your thumb? Have you tried picking up something without your thumb? All parts have an important role and a part to play. Think also for a moment about envy and how the different parts may envy each other and desire to be a different part. What if the foot said, as it says in the Bible, I hate being a foot, I want to be a hand. Who wants to be a smelly foot anyway, when you could be a nice hand? But if the whole body was made up of hands, we wouldn't be able to do other things. We don't need a church made up of people with all the same gifts. We need a variety of gifts and abilities so that all kinds of ministry can take place. And we need to value everybody's gifts and all work together for the Lord's church. But also consider the fact that the arms aren't going to be able to accomplish much without the brain's instructions. The eyes seeing where to direct the hands, the nerves sending the impulses, and the muscles having the adequate oxygen and energy for strength and movement. So each person within the church is indispensable. Two students graduated from a law school. One of them was the highest ranking student in the class, and he was a blind man. When he accepted his honour as the top ranking student, he insisted that half of the credit go to his fellow student and friend. They had met on the first day in school when the armless man guided the blind man down the stairs. From then on, the blind man carried the armless man's books, and the armless man, that's hard to say, read out loud in study times. Their individual differences were compensated by each other's abilities. That's a great example of the way, as a church, that we are supposed to function as the body of Christ. We really do need each other. Your strengths complete my weaknesses, and vice versa. Most of you probably know I'm absolutely useless at technical things, but Louise is excellent. I am actually really bad at remembering dates, but Kim always reminds me. And all of you know that if we ever need food in the church, we speak to Anne or Joy, because they're great cooks. For worship, we have John, Red, and Ian, and Paula. I can't play a note on a musical instrument. We are all important in doing the Lord's work for the church, and we all need each other to make the body. Every part of the body is connected. A tooth is a very small part of our body, and we probably don't think much about them except for when we are cleaning our teeth or going to the dentist. But what happens when you get that toothache? That pain, that throbbing. You know, you can't actually function, can you? Because it's so painful. The entire body is affected by that one little tooth until we get it fixed. Paul wants us to recognize that when one part of the body suffers, all parts of the body suffer together. And the opposite is also true. When one part of the body is honoured, all parts rejoice together. In practical terms, this means that we cannot be blind to what's happening to each other in our lives. We must get close to each other, get to know each other, know when each other's hurting, know when each other's celebrating, so that we can rejoice or help each other. So what's Paul's point overall? Nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. There is nothing or no one who is too insignificant to be an important part of the body of Christ. And there is nothing or no one so big or so important that he or she is able to become independent from the body of Christ. The body all works together, but it does need to be under the direction of the head. Try and imagine the body functioning without the head. Jesus is the head of the body, and we are to follow his direction and leadership. Just think of an orchestra for one moment. It has to be diverse. You wouldn't want to listen to an orchestra of 50 violins, even if they could play them well. You'd want to hear an orchestra with instruments from every group. But an orchestra also needs a conductor. The conductor plans the music. The conductor keeps them playing all in time and in beat. Just imagine if they could play whatever they wanted to whatever timing. It certainly wouldn't be harmony. Churches can have two extremes as their head. They can be led from a firm-handed dictator, or they can be at the other stream and allow everyone to be a leader and do their own thing. In a healthy church body, all parts look to Jesus as their head, and then to those with the gifts and who are employed by Jesus to function as leaders. Together, all parts of the body seek to carry out the will of God, as each part values all the other parts, as each part uses its own gifts. So let me just end by asking you some questions. Do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus and the member of the body of Christ? If so, are you connected enough to the body, or are you trying to live a life independent of the body? Are you connected to the body in fellowship, or do you just check in and out when you want to? Are you trying to get to know others, their joys, their needs? And finally, what are your gifts, and how are you trying to use them for the benefit of the body of Christ? Remember, we all have a part to play, and no part is insignificant. To refuse to play or take part or to neglect the body hurts the whole body. We may not think we need the body, but we do, and the body needs you. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, Paul concludes by saying, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each and every one of you are part of it. We are one body, united to do God's work." So the question is, what does it take to stir up that gift in you? James Street is one body, united to do God's work. So let's unite and get to it. And I'm just going to end with a clip.
It's the voice on the corner crying in pain. It's the hand in the pocket that's reaching for change. The heart that is willing to give it away. This is the body of Christ. It's the feet that will carry the prodigal home, the tongue that refrains from recounting the wrong, the arms that will hold you till all shame is gone. This is the body of Christ. We are so many parts, but together we move. And doesn't that fearfully, wonderfully prove we need each other? It's the child who is waiting, lost and alone. It's the one who will find them and help them to grow. The family that's longing to give them a home. This is the body of Christ. We are so many parts, but together we move. Doesn't that fearfully, wonderfully prove we